This is Chris Gardner of the Houston Roundball Review with a new podcast, something different, something exciting, something that's going to surprise some people with the person who is with me, who reached out to me the last few days and wanted to get together and do a podcast. I hadn't seen him in a minute. So, Jamie McKinney, how you doing, brother? So let's get right into it, man. It's your platform. What you want to hit off with first?
What's been in the news lately? You know, I want to talk about Kawhi Leonard. I think it was a decision that was put on for him. You know, I'm a LeBron fan, so I definitely would have loved to see him in the Lakers uniform. But with that being said, who I feel like is one of the best NBA, and I just feel like that's
going to
be a good
time. Well, you know, you're a LeBron fan, and you know, I first saw LeBron. He was like a junior in high school. He came to town years ago, but I didn't put it on Twitter because I'm not really into all that he said, she said, what I heard kind of stuff. But I never thought, never for a minute, did I think Kawhi was going to go to the Lakers. I thought he was going to the Clippers or stay with the Raptors. So all that stuff, rumors about people saying this about Kawhi's going to the Lakers, you know, never thought that. The national folks talking about it, I never thought that, never thought that. So when he made the move and decided on the Clippers, I was good with that. More power to him.
Okay. That sounds good. So tell me, think he was not going to
That's part of it. Kawhi wants his own team. You know, yeah. He didn't want to be in his own shadow. This is my opinion, of course. I mean, I don't speak to the man like that, you know. I never thought he would be cool with being LeBron's sidekick and at some point LeBron's shadow and then teaming up with AD as well. At some points in there, Kawhi might be the third wheel in some folks' eyes until LeBron, you know, says Kawhi's your team now. That's not Kawhi's style. Never has been Kawhi's style. You know, that's what I'm coming from.
You know, and I know everybody been kind of talking Kawhi Leonard, you know, 2019, but I just feel like the world is going to be challenged. LeBron really is. He's going to play off with the LeBron with a little help. So, really, Kawhi is why he is. I'm not taking anything from Kawhi, but I just feel like LeBron is just going to do what he do. As far as make his teammates better, I think he's going to be the type of guy that's going to be able to transition very quickly and get his teammates understanding how he plays and going to figure out with his basketball IQ what his team does best. I like the tandem with Kawhi and Paul, but I feel like that's going to need a year to kind of down and build some chemistry, which I feel like LeBron is best because LeBron is a high type of guy. So I feel like as far as when it comes to the basketball deep side of LeBron's game, I think he's going to be able to execute and lead his team to get them going in the direction a little faster than what the Clippers are going to be able to do with their new look team.
Well, I'll say this. I'm looking forward to their four regular season matchups. But when it comes down to it, if they meet in the playoffs, as I've done for years, even when LeBron was going against the Warriors with the Cavs, when push came to shove, if the Clippers and Lakers match up in the playoffs, I'm picking the Lakers because LeBron is still the best player in the NBA. Until somebody else says different.
agree with you. I agree with you. I'm excited because I really think this is the first time that LeBron has really been able to, you know, he had his own team this season, but I feel like this is the first time he's had his own team that had some pieces that he was able to play on his roster that suits him, something that he's wanted. You know, I know when he went to Miami, where he played things, LeBron came in and helped out. But I feel like in Cleveland, I feel like his roster wasn't really complete, but his greatness just allowed him to perform. This is the first time that I've seen him have talent like Kobe and Shaq and those guys have. But moving along to Russell Westbrook, we'll talk about Russell Westbrook for a minute. I know it's just speculation about him being traded. We'll keep it all honest with Russell Westbrook. He's a great player. He's a fact. So, but I just feel like Russell has been understood on how he needs it. I mean, I feel like his personality, his presentation, his drive kind of interferes with his ability to win a championship. I think if he gets the right person around him, the right will, the right knowledge, how to strategize and kind of have a philosophy to his game based on winning, I think you could win a championship. An example is being there at one point, and he didn't fall through. I feel like he had to, but it gets to a certain point where he just wants to take over. Like, I think he's in love with Bucket so much. He kind of interferes with his ability to make his teammates better and play the role of a point guard.
I agree with you because Russ lets his ego get involved way too much on the basketball floor when he tries to go one-on-one and go one-on-five, you know, and ignores his teammates. If he goes to the Heat, Russ bring up a good point, but it comes down to will Russ take the advice of whoever it is, if it's Pat Riley or whoever, to tell him, say, man, you're 30 years old, you haven't won a ring, you got all these triple-double, that's nice, but if you want to win a championship, this is what you need to do, A, B, C, and D. If you don't win a championship, you can just keep getting triple-doubles and keep losing in the first round, that's your call. But if you want to win a championship, this is what you got to do. Now, will he take that advice and get better and listen and take that advice?
Yeah, and I think really what I think will help us is just the makeup of the team. I feel like if you put great players around Russ, I mean, that's one thing. But I think what Russ needs is a point guard. I think Russ needs a smaller guard on the floor in the lineup with him to allow him to kind of a head guard that will know when to kind of, I guess, go away from us at times. You know, I know, and a guard that knows when to go to him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a guy like a Chris Paul, or not even a Chris Paul, you know, what's the little guy's name that played with Toronto this year? The little light-skinned guy came off.
Fred VanVleet.
Exactly. I feel like Russ would do well in a system more like that, where you got a Van Fleet at the one, you know, him on the wing and him on George on the other wing or whatever. I think that team could win games because I really do think Russ is a Kobe Bryant for the ball. And if you had a guy that could floor general on the floor and run, I think that would be the way to go with Russ Westbrook. If he went forward to take advice and be the floor general that he needs, I feel like that would be the best bet. So if you just want to trade him, or if you're a team that's looking to get Russ, I think you would kind of think about having a primary guard, point guard, and know, maybe even like a De'Aaron Fox. I'm a big De'Aaron Fox fan. I know he's a Houston native, and that's where I'm in right now. But I just think you need a primary ball out and then a run. You know, and I just think that would be the best situation for Russ Westbrook. But my true opinion is that he will never win a championship. He will always be great, but he will never win a championship because of his basketball personality.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else you got, man?
I want to talk about coach under Tom Herman. He did a great job last year. He won a gold championship. And I know the fact has been, you know, will Herman be able to sustain where he is? You know, he came in with the luxury of stars and players. I mean, a lot of those guys have graduated. So I'm just kind of anxious to see, what he does with this new team this year, because they lost a lot of pieces. They lost a lot of pieces. They had a lot of seniors on the seniors past year. So I really feel like this year is the first year that Coach Herman really has to coach his team. You know, his first class, his first recruiting class are now sophomores. And they're going to have to insert a lot of those sophomores from that great recruiting class he got out of 2018 and go from there. So I feel like this is a big year for Coach Herman as a coach. I think this is a big year for the University of Texas program as a whole. And, so I'm excited to see what Ellinger does as quarterback. You know, he's going to be a junior this year coming off of his bowl championship, defeating Georgia last year. So I want to see if he's going to maintain that momentum. But most of all, I'm just kind of anxious to look at the Big 12 schedule to see where those guys end up at the end of the year. And what's exciting about college football is that every game they start off with Louisiana Tech as the first game of the season, and then right after that, second game of the season, the University of Texas matched up with LSU. I feel that like that's going to be a bomb going in the front. That's going to be a big question mark game for both coaches, not only Tom Herman, but also Coach Bowles at LSU. They're looking to build off of their momentum from last year. And, you know, the Texas-Louisiana matchup. I mean, you know, you have the Cowboys and the Saints, the Texans and the Saints. You always have that warm flavor going against Texas and Louisiana. I just think this is a great matchup. It's going to be a great showdown. It's a great recruiting game. You got a lot of guys that are recruited out of Texas that go to LSU and vice versa. So I just feel like this is going to be a beautiful game coming up. What's your take on it, Chris?
And see, this I'm going to be funny with you. This shows you how you need to hang out more, because you'll learn that me and Tom Herman are like oil and water. I can't stand that man for how he left U of H. Plus, I'm not a fan of Texas at all in athletics for how they've dumped on my U of H program for years and years and years. But you bring up some good points about this being a big year for him and finally seeing if he can really coach the talent that he got and brought in 2 years ago. So we'll see if that test against LSU is in Austin. So it's, you know, it's a home game. So the pressure will be on him there, because La Tech in the opener and the Rice after that, they got it. Little sandwich games around the matchup against LSU. So we'll see how they do. They should start off the season 3-0. If they lose LSU, depending on if it's a bad loss, you know, like a blowout loss, I wonder if he'll start feeling some heat from the money folks, but we'll see how it all plays out.
Right. Well, big controversy down there in Florida, Baylor, and I'm looking to get back into coaching. I think he found a spot at Mount Vernon High. But my question to you is, do you feel like Art Brown loves another chance to be a head football coach?
Honestly, no. No, I really just, don't. I've never felt that he took any responsibility for what happened at Baylor. You know, he kind of passed the buck around and it wasn't his fault and those kind of things. I know we can say nothing was proven in the court of law, even the court of opinion. But, especially high school kids, I don't want him near high school kids. And he can coach on the pro level with grown men who've already heard the BS that coaches spew out to high school kids. That's something different. Mm-hmm. For high school, no. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, you know, okay. And let me start out this way. He didn't, I guess he didn't accept accountability. So, did you feel like you need a second chance? Did you feel like learning things from all that turmoil?
No, that's one of my big issues is really he never owned up to what happened under his watch.
Understandable. Interesting. And me, from the perspective, I was kind of looking like, there's a chance because I've seen people give so many other special chances. And, he was doing a great job. He's a great coach. And he has a lot to give to athletes that are motivated to be very fast. I mean, I know he did a great job with the Taylor's program, the quarterback, the offense, you know, was one of the best. He does a good job of recruiting. So, I feel like he still have a lot to do there. But at the same token, I agree with you. I feel like he should take some accountability. I feel that he should own up whatever his thought was in the controversy. And apologize and move forward. But I do feel like, we still have a lot of wisdom and knowledge to give. And hopefully he learned a valuable lesson where if he had to do things differently, he would do those things differently from just the experience and everything that has taken place. So hopefully he learned something about that. Now, moving on to A&M, talk about Texas, talk a little bit about our problems, Baylor. Been kind of looking at what's been going on at A&M, the new coach, Jimbo, down there, and it just kind of seems like it's a little bit of electricity down. You know, I don't know what it is about what he's been doing and the recruiting he's been doing down there in A&M, but it just seems like everybody is excited and he's getting some good people. He had a pretty good season from first year coach. So, just like Coach Harris, I feel like this is a big difference. He had to use his big wet, teach his system, teach his way. Those players seem like they love playing for him. He does a good job in the home of the parents and getting players to buy into his vision. So, I feel this is a big deal for Jimbo. And I think it's pivotal, for to see what they have improved from last year to this year. Even the game here in Alabama. I know everything's changed. I just want to beat Alabama. Want to stay here. Want to be good. Alabama. Do you feel like Jimbo is putting himself in a position to compete with Alabama or even defeat Alabama?
We'll see. I mean, clearly A&M's got the money, they got the facilities, and at some point he has to deliver on the field and beat Alabama. Alabama is, especially in the SEC, still the king of the mountain. I'm still not convinced. I am a U of H alum, but for years I was a Florida State fan, going back to Deion Sanders and Bobby Bowden. Long, long time ago. So when Jimbo became coach of the Seminoles, he was great for a while. But the last couple of years there, The offensive line was just garbage. When he left, he left the program in shambles. You're seeing how they've had to build since he left. I mean, I'm serious. The offensive line with the last 2-3 years he was there was just one of the worst lines in all of big time sports. He had a wandering eye. He started looking elsewhere, you know, started asking for more and more money. And it got to a point that the alums were like, okay, man, we keep giving you what you want. Why aren't you happy here? And that's when you finally saw him take most, you know, more and more money from the Aggies. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not down on anybody maximizing your earning potential. But while he was at Florida State those last 2-3 years, the discipline on the field was, you could just see a drop in execution, a drop in talent. There was too many penalties, too many times the quarterback getting killed because the offensive line couldn't block worth a damn. I mean, it was just a lot of just awful football, especially for a program that was elite for so long. And he left it in a mess, which is now being cleaned up by somebody else.
That makes sense. I think a lot of this, because Florida State is definitely struggling right now. And the coach is doing that, taking a lot of heat to cut them.
Yeah.
So I think we do have to give that to, Jimbo Fisher. You know, he has to take some of that credit on knocking that program to where it is. He made some valid points. Now, for going to a little high school basketball, R.J. Hampton, that was a big deal right there, you know. And the thing about what R.J. Hampton did, I really feel like it caused some issues with the NCAA in the future. I think the NCAA is in trouble because I actually think it was a genius move. I don't know who orchestrated it. If his dad orchestrated it, I think it was genius. And the reason I say that because I never seen it done before, but when I got to thinking about it, it made a lot of sense. I mean, you have RJ, a junior in high school. So he said he's going to reclassify halfway early, which would allow him to forego his senior and go right into college. And then when you look at what happened, it was almost like, I'm going to in my senior year playing pro basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of playing at Little Elm High School, but just going to Little Elm regular basketball schedule, he's actually going to spend his senior year playing pro. And then be eligible to go in the draft after his senior year pretty much. And basically he really, you know, it's kind of like on the job training.
I think
as a senior, you know, I've seen it. I think people do it after their senior year and go. But I just think that move was really good, especially if you got a kid, the type of kid that has an intellect to graduate and going to overseas and play for a year when actually you're supposed to be a senior in high school, like playing so. Pro basketball, not only is he playing pro basketball, you know, maybe making $1 million doing it, and then going into the NBA draft. So I'm really, really impressed. That was the first time I seen that happen myself. I was really impressed with that. And I just feel like if you're that type of talent, that's almost like an excellent, For basketball, but it's kind of like the college players graduating early and enrolling in the stream and playing football during the second half of their senior year. You know, I think that's a wise move. That's very smart. And I don't think RJ is missing out on anything with what he did because he's not playing college, which he was scheduled to do, going to pass up his senior year and go to college. But pass up his senior year and went pro. And and going to go into the NBA draft. You know, so that makes him literally kind of look like he's going straight out of high school into the NBA when you look at the scope. So, we'll talk about that.
Well, first, let me say what RJ is doing, RJ and his dad and his folks are doing, going to New Zealand to play in that league. It's not for everybody. I think it's a good move for him. Because you touched on his intellect. He was smart enough. You know, it wasn't like, you know, in previous instances, like, Emmanuel Mudiay, you know, from where you used to coach up in that area, that DFW area. He had some great issues, some academic issues. So we were kind of like, well, if he goes to college, is he going to qualify to get into college? So there were some questions about that for him. That was not the case for RJ. So you got a chance to go pro, play in New Zealand, who is trying to become an up and coming second best pro level in the world behind the NBA. So they're trying to develop their league as a more NBA style and have franchises more like the NBA team and things like that. And get a chance to play against grown men, better players than you, and get paid while you're doing it, paid a nice hunk of change too. Why not?
Right.
I mean, you gotta be mentally mature to play overseas. So, you know, depending on, and you got to have people you can trust. You know, one person, be your best friend, be your mom, you know, a relative you can trust, an older sibling, whatever, somebody who is in your inner circle, who would tell you right from wrong, who would tell you no sometimes. Sometimes you need to be told no. You can't do whatever you want to just because you got talent. Not every young kid has that in his or her life. So they don't have that direction, that guidance to know right from wrong and just think that, well, don't you know who I am? I can get buckets whenever I want. That's good. But can you listen to what the coach says? And can you take instructive criticism? Why? I'm the best player on the team. Well, says who? And then you start having problems with the coaching staff. It's not up for everybody. Overseas is no joke. You know, you 1,000 miles away. So you got to learn how to, occupy your free time, because a lot of kids get in trouble overseas, well, here too, on their free time. College is more structure. I mean, especially if you're staying on campus, you know, you got the class schedule and coaches will check in on you, make sure you're going to class or make sure you're in class. Whereas overseas, you may have to train, lift weights in the morning, work out, conditioning, whatever in the morning, and then the rest of your day is free. You know, you may only play one time a week. And what you going to do the rest of the time?
Right. Okay. Tyrese, get out of the DFW area, decided to go to Kentucky.
It's hard for me to hate on anybody going to play for Coach Cal, because Coach Cal looks out for his players, you know, and he keeps it real with it. He keeps it with his players and the kid's mom or dad or both. You know, he tells them, you come play for me. I'm going to take care of your son. And if he has talent good enough to get to the pros, I'll make sure I'm going to do what I can to get him to the NBA. What's wrong with that? Exactly.
That's a great reputation. And I think his goal is to come to the NBA. Your goals go to the NBA. You have the talent to play at a Kentucky on that stage, on that platform. I'm like you, Chris. Why not? Go ahead and put yourself right in the fire. Right on that stage and give yourself an opportunity to go to the next level in a year, if not a year, maybe two.
Sure.
If not 2 years, maybe 3. So, I think you did a really, really, really good job. I think you made really, really good choice. Moving on to girls, this summer. I actually got a chance to really watch a lot of AAU girls basketball, but I still want to touch on it briefly because I do a lot of training in the Houston area, the Dallas area. I train a lot of players on the fan of the AAU team. And really what I want to say, and I'm really looking at the boys trying a whole lot of things with AAU, and I'm just disappointed in Texas AAU basketball. And the reason I say that is because I'm looking at it, I'm looking on Twitter, I'm looking at stats and things like that. But we're not winning championships, you know. Back in the day, because we're a hotbed of talent, and I feel like our coaches have to do a better job of putting the talent together and winning games when we compete against the nation itself. You know, you have a Nike jeans out here, you got Southfield. And Southfield is doing pretty good. I'm not going to take too much on, but you don't have one championship yet. You have DFW League, Pro Steel, and you have Five Eight. And these teams have some of the best players in the country on these teams. So I don't know if it's the style they're playing or if it's or what have you, but I just don't feel like we're showing up. When we go to the national tournament, wherever they may be, Atlanta, Chicago, wherever, I don't think we're representing the state good enough and bringing home championships. So I just want to challenge all the A's coaches that I expect the top Texas coaches. These guys would be Adidas and Under Armour and Nike. But I just challenge them to win championships. And I know there's great talent out there in California and New York and Florida and places like that. But, you know, we have talent. And not only do we have talent, we have size. So I just feel that the right coaches put together and dealing with the team for a few months, I just think there's a peak time that we just go out and do a better job of bring home the hardware. You know, I'm not knocking the scholarships because we can't scholarship because we got talent. But I want these coaches to go out and win championships and bring home the gold. So, my point is, Pro Steel, Drive Nation, you know, Jermaine O'Neal, you know, you put together a good little program. So you got good talent. So you got your own facility. So like, now, let's win the championship. Let's show that we can go out there and compete against the nation's best and be the best. And that goes for DFW League too. You know, I'm disappointing those guys. You know, who was not really competing at the level where they are used to compete. You know, and they're used to winning championships and things like that too. You know, it's just the afterthought. So what do you think, Chris? Am I being too hard?
I mean, this is your area. This is your domain. So let me ask you this. Have the coaches, is it a change in personnel? Is it a change in people in charge in those organizations? I mean, what's different? What's changing the mindset?
Well, you know what? I think it's not a change. It's not a change. I know most people are new. Well, they're not new anymore. You know, they're new maybe 3 years ago. Okay. So now they're new. And they have some of the best talent in the country, best talent in Dallas. I'm the best talent. I just feel that it's just not getting done on the big stage. I don't know if it's inexperience, coaching inexperience. I don't know. If the teams are not motivated or if the teams are just better than them. But I really don't think that's the case. You know, I feel like it's just a lack of, cohesiveness. I don't think these coaches being able to get their team on one accord and to really buy in to the purpose. And it's a big task when you're a coach. Not only do you have to get the team to buy into it, but you gotta get almost the parents to buy into it to a certain extent. And, I just feel like they haven't been able to do that. Now, Rob Nation's a little new, so they get a little, you know, I give, you know, they got a little excuse. Rob Nation is their first year out there on the surface. So, you know, another year, I'll be looking for some championships for them. But I do like the way they're moving. You know, I like the way, you know, Jermaine O'Neal has kind of set up shop. But with that come, you know, a lot of expectations. So I don't think expectations are getting met yet. But I do feel like he has helped come in and put a stamp on Texas and Texas on the boys and girls side.
Okay. So,
but I have to give some organizations credit. And on the boys side, I gotta give Houston Hoop credit. I mean, I just feel like they're a team that has changed. You know, they've been in the game a long time and same. And that's an art. You know, it takes a lot of work and it's hard to do. So, you know, I give Houston Hoops props, you know, for just sustain. You know, I see a lot of programs come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Some come, some go downhill and things like that. But they have sustained, so, and I think it's a tribute to the leadership over there. So, I don't have a lot of inside relationships over there, but I just, from being in the game so long and knowing who's doing what and who has players who's doing things like that, I just think Houston Hoops is always just doing a good job year after year of being relevant. My little stomp the ground, I just think this is up and down. You know, they get great talent, but then they get out on the big stage, beat them, or on the girls' side, not get asked, they don't show up, you know? So I just want to take that a little bit more serious, that we got the best talent in the world. We got some of the best talent in the world, and we need to bring it on, championship.
I got you.
We're going to get scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to get scholarships even without these coaches. But we need to bring on championships. So, and that's what it's about with me. And I feel like development is an important part of it. You know, I just feel like, you gotta help these kids get better. You know, not just put them on a team and let them play, but you gotta, you know, you're a great player and take yourself a left hand. Hey, you need to be a little bit more unselfish. You know, on the girls' side, I gotta give a shout out to, you know, my boy Z. He's a coach at DFW, fairly new, but, you know, he had a player on the team that's kind of, you know, very volume shooter, and he's kind of been able to do this in high school and even do it on AAU, did it with him for the most part. When it came down to it, when they kind of just started playing against the country's best, he had to sit her down. He had to sit her down just to kind of teach her a lesson. But not only did he teach her a lesson, he made her better. He made her understand how to play this game. You know, and he made her understand what her weaknesses are. And she's a very talented player, but he sat her down. And they took some licks that tournament, but now they're playing this tournament and they're winning. So they look like a different team, but
exactly. Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah.
So what you have to do is gotta be a leader. You gotta stick to your guns as a coach, and you gotta make tough decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like these coaches are afraid to make tough decisions because they feel vulnerable to the player, or they feel vulnerable to the parents, or I'm gonna lose this kid. I'm gonna lose that kid. You know, I don't think it's worth being angry. You know, I don't think it's worth playing the game right. But I feel like you got to make tough decisions as a coach. You know, you may lose players, but hey, that's okay. I think character and integrity is a big part of what's going on out here today. With that, Chris, I'm done. I done dropped the mic, man. It was a pleasure having my first podcast with you, talking about the sports and headlines out here today. And I'm looking forward to this, to continuing it.
Oh, yeah, man. This, you know, this is the first of, should be many. So we're going to chop it up and talk about some different sports, and we'll toss in, so there will be some girls basketball discussion, women's basketball too in there as well. But yeah, we're going to talk about sports and a few different topics. So listeners, I hope you enjoyed it, and we're going to do it again. So, thank you for the time, D, and we'll keep in touch. And until next time.
Next time.
Take care, man.